Support made possible by Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic's annual series of crop insurance and grain marketing meetings are currently underway across the Midwest. Go to www.sfarmmarketing.com. to register for a meeting near you.
From the land to Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 14th day of February 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo, globalanalytics.biz out of Atchison, Kansas. He'll stay with us for the second half hour, if you can as well, on our home station and many of these radio stations over the weekend for our Commodity Week discussion. We recorded that yesterday, and it was a really good program that included Mike along with Elaine Cubb, Bill Lapp, and Chip Nellinger. Oh, and Eric Snodgrass will be here today too from Nutrien Ag Solutions to take a look at the weather forecast on this Valentine's Day, a Friday afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, March corn today, a penny and three quarters lower, $3.77¾. The May at $3.82, down 2¾. In July, $3.85½, 3¼ lower. December at $3.88¾, down 3¼ cents. The March soybeans 2½ lower, $8.93¾. The May at $9.03¼, down 2¾. In July, down 2½ cents at $9.15½. Next year's November beans at $9.22½, a penny and a quarter lower. The soybean oil down 15 cents. Settled at $30.57, the bean meal 80 cents lower, $2.91.10 for the afternoon. July wheat futures, soft red, 3½ lower at $5.41. July hard red, down a quarter at $4.78¾. Live cattle futures in the April, up $1.80, $120.32½. The settlement price per 100 pounds, the April feeders up $2.42½ at $141.37½. And lean hogs in the April at $64.30. up 22½ cents. Crude oil is 61 cents a barrel higher. Ethanol futures up 2 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel about a penny and 7 tenths higher. Gasoline up 0.4 cents. And natural gas is 2 1/10 cents higher for the day. The Dow around 110 points lower. The dollar up 0.047. And gold at $1,582.40. up $7.30. We're now joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a globalanalytics.biz out of Atchison, Kansas. Hey, Mike, 2 days in a row. Thanks for joining the fray yesterday with Commodity Week. I appreciated that, and it was a good show, too.
Yeah, another good one laid down again, and very timely conversation, good topics. You know, we didn't get into the details as much as we like to sometimes on the Commodity Week because we do take up some big picture stuff, and it was great to have Bill Lapp and the other guests as well. It was a real nice team effort by everybody.
Yeah, so if you can stick around, you hear the whole of the program on our home station. Many of these stations will air it over the weekend, and it's all up on willag.org right now for you to listen to. The other thing, Mike, before we get started is that, well, two other things. First, looking forward to having you at the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House on Tuesday, March 3rd. That's not very far away now.
No, it's very close. We got to start praying now for good, warm driving weather for everybody to get there.
You know what? I hate to say it, but really bad weather days, I kind of like it because everybody shows up regardless, right? It's a really great event. It's a really great event. The cost is just $30. You can buy your tickets online at willag.org. 800-898-1065 is the phone number. You can do that right now. And the other item, and I didn't catch this until, well, about 20 minutes ago, frankly, the markets are closed on Monday. I know, Mike, probably you may not have heard this, but in the locally central Illinois area and probably a larger portion of our listening area, Tillable has been active and letters have been arriving in mailboxes. Lots of people want to know what Tillable is and how that works and why they're sending letters out as it relates to cash rent and land and property and owners and farmers. That Monday gives us an opportunity to run an interview I did with the CEO of Tillable. His name's Corbett Cool. Back in July. This will be the third time, actually, we've run it, but this is probably the time when everybody will want to tune in. So that's on the closing market report on Tuesday afternoon, and we'll get to that then. The big thing that happened today, Mike, I think, and maybe you have a different opinion, however, you mentioned this in the Commodity Week program yesterday is that USDA is getting ready for the Ag Forum, and part of that preparation is putting out some updated 10-year projections. You wanted to go through some of those numbers yesterday and get an idea of what things look like. Did you see anything of interest?
The only thing I saw of interest, Todd, was that it looked to me, and I did try and scour through it as much as possible since it came out at 11 Central Time, and it's something like 114 pages, so I certainly didn't get through all of it, but I cannot find where they've updated anything. And when it comes to the major export demand side of the equation, it looks like they're using the December analysis for, you know, the trade deals, and that would be them not being completed. When it came to acres, I could not find one scintilla of change in the acreage base at all versus what they'd put out versus November. I did talk to one of the colleagues in Chicago to ask his opinion, and neither he nor I could find where it was any different than the November report. So it was, I think, probably disappointing to the trade that there wasn't any new news in it. Especially given the uncertainty of the 29 crop in the Northern Plains and those five key areas that USDA is resurveying. Have any kind of negativity or anything, but I think we're at a point now getting closer and closer to March where Texas is wanting to plant, and, you know, we're starting to get the planting season underway in the southern parts of the Northern Hemisphere. It seems to me this maybe was a missed opportunity. Maybe next week on Friday when they have their forum, we'll get fresh numbers, and that will incorporate some of the survey data. But as I think Lance Honing has told both you and I, it's probably going to wait until March, April, May before we get any real information. So the nuts and bolts of USDA's report Tuesday for supply demand and today's non-report essentially is that both of these reports really did not force the demand bear at all into hibernation. Even though some supply numbers went down, and they were important supply numbers on Tuesday, the coronavirus, the stronger dollar, and the fact that China is buying from what it seems to be everybody but us really left a bad taste in everybody's mouth in Chicago this week when it came to the grains, and wheat took the biggest hit as a result of that.
Did you make note of some of the long-term projections? I thought the import projections, and these were just the global numbers that USDA put out for pork and beef into China, were just amazing, at least on the graphics. And they're just beginning to ramp up, but it's fast and a lot, like twice what the imports, current imports across the planet are of both of those. So I don't know what you made of those, or if you looked at them very much at all or not.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the same as November, I certainly got a good look at them back then, and I did, you know, go through the charts a little bit. I think this kind of ties into the Commodity Week program, and, you know, I try to get information and analysis out to clients early enough and subscribers early enough that they can consider what I'm talking about and whether it's worthwhile putting into their plan or not. And I do think that there is a good likelihood in 2020, if we don't have any more black swans like the coronavirus come about, or a major hog disease someplace here, or poultry disease someplace in the world, like African swine fever, I think the protein-led demand market can manifest itself in 2020. We may have to wait till well after planting, and maybe even until we get to the summer months. But I do think that between the U.S. pork production, Todd, being now for the first time ever, having being two consecutive years about above U.S. beef production, and U.S. beef production still increasing in 2020, then poultry is even, you know, a sharper curve to the upside as far as the angle of the curve and the slope of the curve. We have a lot of feeding to do in 2020 that can take a lot of the pressure off of this really sagging ethanol demand market that we fought essentially since 2015. You know, that's really when the wheels started to come off, and we didn't see any changes in blend wall, and it just has gotten worse and worse since then. And we've had this consolidation in the industry. But I think 2020 looks a lot better in demand because of the feeding and this livestock and this protein that you're looking at on that chart.
Yeah. So do you think that the export market for both of the pork and beef from the United States, and I'll use an old farmer analogy, is that we're just going to walk the corn off of the farm instead of selling it into the marketplace. And I know that's not quite right, but because it's overseas, but it's a little different. And Smithfield being owned by a Chinese company may make a difference in the way this works too.
Yeah, now they won't with the USDA. I did talk to the head of the FAS for pork last week in D.C., and she and I had a really good conversation. And Smithfield has to report per her just like everybody else does when it comes to export sales and physical exports, whether they're domiciled in the U.S. or not. It's still getting out our door and has to be reported as such. I do think, and that was one of the very first things I ever heard from the Purdue professor, Bill Urich, who's now passed, but he used to help me a lot when I worked at Utterbacks, and that was one of the things that he talked about was walking the grain off the field. And I think that's where we're heading back towards because of this global protein demand. And one of the things I do delve into in 2020 is what the alternative meat situation could present in terms of headwinds. But as long as prices are low enough, I don't see that as a big deal.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it a lot.
Great to be with you, Todd. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. That's Mike Zuzlow. He's with GlobalAnalytics.biz out of Atchison, Kansas. Joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget that you can pick up your tickets for the All Day Ag Outlook at WILLAG.org or by dialing 800-898-1065. Do it right now. On this Friday, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass is here now. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Hey, good afternoon. Happy Valentine's Day to you. I appreciate you taking the time off today.
Yeah, you know, you're welcome. And happy Valentine's Day to you too, Todd.
So you and I both live in the same area, and I know the kids are out of school today. And that's because we have this cold air mass. Boy, it dropped down, and it was 5 below this morning. Well, that was just cold. Are we going to live with this for very long?
No. And that's been the tale of winter, right? I mean, anytime we get a cold shot, it's been relatively short-lived because too much of the cold air has been tucked away in the far northerly latitudes up in, you know, the Arctic, Alaska, and Greenland, where it spent most of this winter. In fact, we go back and study this winter, I think we will remember it as the winter of one of the strongest polar vortexes we've ever seen, and also a winter where the North Atlantic was stuck into a phase of what we call the positive phase of the North Atlantic Oscillation. And the translation of all that, when those two things are behaving the way they are, we get shots of cold air and we'll get snow. I mean, we saw some, but, you know, we're already back on our warming trend and it'll be, you know, warm getting into next week out ahead of another big low pressure system we're going to deal with. So, yeah, it's been short-term shots of colder air. And that's been problematic. You know, we actually need to have a good cold winter. That's a good sign for the upcoming growing season, and we just haven't had it.
Yeah, speaking of the upcoming growing season, the further south you go in the United States, the more quickly that starts. I know in Texas, they have been planting corn already, and the Delta Mid-South South region should be in that process, though they're pretty saturated and have been getting rainfall. What can you tell me about that area?
Well, I can tell it to you this way. I create daily maps of precipitation going back as far as a year. And my 14-day map that I've made, so the last 2 weeks, I made an adjustment in my color bar this week because it wasn't high enough. We have some places in the last 2 weeks that are in parts of the Delta, but really getting over into Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, that are right now sitting at 15-plus inches of rainfall in the last couple of weeks. And so the flooding threat there is a major problem. And just remember, all the headwaters to the Mississippi right now, because remember, all that gets eventually through New Orleans, all the headwaters of the Mississippi are currently sitting under saturated ground. So we've already kind of predestined ourselves here to a pretty rough spring just based on this February precipitation pattern. And yeah, they're rolling in Texas. That's been the drier side of it. But everywhere east of there, too much rain in the last couple of weeks to really get much done.
What about west of Texas into California and those places?
Yeah, there's a lot of folks in California that are getting very, very concerned. And that is because the precipitation patterns since the start of the new year have really been very dry for California. Split flow in the Pacific gives their mountains about 60% of normal on snowfall. Now remember, much of their irrigation water does come from snowfall, given how low groundwater levels are in the state of California. So I got a request this morning for somebody saying, can you tell me what it would take to get us another Miracle March? I said, Miracle March is, 1991. they were really dry up until March, and then all of a sudden, well, everything turned around and cranked things up. And the problem is the pattern that's got us so wet here is continuing, which makes the pattern out there dry. So I had to deliver some bad news this morning that I don't see a miracle March coming in for California, which means we in this side of the country should expect to continue to see, you know, our pattern staying active. And we're going to get it next week. There's another system coming through. It's going to go north of us. So I think Illinois is going to be mostly a rain event out of this one. But still, the pattern really is resisting slowing down, you know, to a crawl where I think many of us want it to be this time of year, given how wet things have been.
When you look longer term in the United States, do you have any indication? I mean, other than we've got all the headwaters there, any other indication of what our spring might look like?
Well, there's some big differences this year compared to last year. And those big differences really have to do with what's going on in Alaska and Greenland and the global winds. So here it is in, real quick. A year ago right now, the global winds were just starting to crank. This year, they've already been cranking and they're slowing down. That's a good sign. We want them to slow down so that the pattern can slow down and we can open up some planting windows when we get into April and May. But all the cold air stored in Alaska right now, well, generally, if it's cold in Alaska in February, more than half of the time, March tends to let that cold air out, and which means it comes across the eastern half of North America. So right now, there's a couple of indicators that tell me that March isn't going to go super warm as of yet, okay? But I'm not 100% sure just on that. I need to see another week's worth of data before I make that call. But it's something I want to watch very carefully because all of us are wondering, are we going to get another, you know, spring like we had in 2018? You know, May 2018 was incredible for planting a crop. Or are we going to have problems like we had in 19? Certainly set up wet right now, though.
Can you give us a quick update on South America?
Yeah, South America, they're harvesting very quickly the first crop soybeans. They have some favorable weather for that. They're behind a year ago, but decent favorable weather. And they're planting Safrinha corn as fast as they possibly can. In the near term right now, if you think about specifically Mato Grosso, near average precip, widely scattered storms, which is normal this time of year. So I would expect harvest efforts to continue to move along there. In Argentina, they've been getting plenty of rain to help their full season crop finish. So long story short, you don't hear of any major negative stories coming out of Brazil right now.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible and will be one of many analysts that will join us over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on the third day of March. You can, too. Visit our website, willag.org, to purchase your ticket today. Now, up next, we recorded Commodity Week yesterday afternoon. We'll hear a portion of that program on all of these stations. If you're on the home station for the rest of the hour, you'll hear the whole program up online now. If you can't listen to it today, at willag.org, or you can hear it on many of these radio stations over the weekend.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Bill Lapp. He's at Advanced Economic Solutions out of Omaha, Nebraska. Elaine Cubb joins us from Ipswich, South Dakota. Chip Nellinger is here from Blue Reef Agri Marketing. He's in Morton, Illinois normally, but is at the Louisville Farm Show today. And Mike Zuzlow is at globalanalytics.biz out of Atchison, Kansas. Commodity Saturday Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to us online at willag.org, willag.org. There you can buy your tickets to the All Day Ag Outlook. That's coming up on the third day of March. We'll have 17 analysts up on stage with us, including, in fact, Mike Zuzlow and Chip Nellinger. Among them, they're our regular panelists on the daily radio programming at Illinois Public Media. We'll also take a look at the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions. Gary Schnitke will be there, University of Illinois Ag Economist, to talk about the ARC PLC decision, SCO as it relates to PLC and crop insurance. And ARC-IC, if you happen to have a prevent plant acre or farm from last year. It should be a great program. Oh, and Steve Malberger will be there, too, to take a look at the future of agriculture. It'll be interesting to see what he has to say. You can find your tickets online at willag.org. That's willag.org. 2024. Now, let's get right into Commodity Week. Bill Lapp is here. Again, he's at Advanced Economic Solutions out of Omaha, Nebraska. Bill, it's been a while since we've had you on the program. Why don't you remind us what it is that you do there?
Sure, I'd be glad to, and thank you for having me on today. Advanced Economic Solutions is an independent commodity forecasting and economic analysis shop. We have been in business about 15 years ago. I founded it, and we work primarily with end users, restaurants, food manufacturers, but we also have a couple of governmental agencies, a couple of investment firms, and some people on the production side of agriculture as well. So we try to provide people with insights, let them know what risks lie ahead, and give them some idea through our forecasts where commodity prices that are going. You can think of it as anything that goes through the back door of a restaurant, we're often called upon to provide some insights as to what the price might be going forward.
How does that differ very much from the side we're talking about today as it relates to farmer and cash sales?
Well, both are work into perpetuity. In other words, a trader is worried about what might happen tomorrow, but a producer who owns property or owns his land is going to be producing year after year. He has a lot of fixed costs, and the same goes for me. Is just on the opposite side, that these end users, these procurement people at restaurants are considering themselves to be in business in the long haul, so they know that they have to plan not only short-term, but long-term as well in terms of their risk management strategies.
Mike Zuzulo, do you have a question that you'd like to ask Bill?
Yeah, Bill, I'll give you a choice. Would you like a big-picture question or more of a short-term question?
Let's start with the short-term.
Okay, I guess one of the things that the clients on the producer level that you work with and that I work with are wondering right now is, when will the market come back to what is the U.S. production for 2019, especially going into a brand new forward-looking acreage number from USDA tomorrow? And what's your thoughts on that?
When will they readdress the 2019 crop size, do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. The futures market especially. I know the cash market's dealing with it in the basis, but really the futures market.
You can hear the answer to that question and so much more if you stay with us here on our home station, or go to willag.org right now and listen to Commodity Week on many of these radio stations over the weekend. You've been listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, inviting you to visit that website at willag.org and to come see us at the All Day Agricultural Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, on the third day of March. We'll have a whole bevy of analysts there, and we'll talk about the ARC PLC and crop insurance decision, the future of agriculture. It's all happening on the third day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is just $30. That includes the whole day, plus your morning roll and coffee from the Beef House and a Beef House lunch. You can't beat it. Go ahead and get your ticket today at willag.org, or you can call this number. It's 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065.